Hey, I wanna finalize this whole series that I've been on called Hide and Seek. If you into trilogies and you know movies, you know that every good series has three episodes. Anything more than three episodes, you know they are now running out of money. The interest has moved on. So this is the third and final episode of Hide and Seek. And tonight's message is called The Hiding Place. The Hiding Place. Let me just pray and then we'll dive into it. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege it is of being in your house tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're just so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you've accepted every single one of us, that there is not a single person here that is too far away from you, that, Lord, every single person who's here is loved by you, chosen by you, cared for by you, Lord Jesus. You know every detail of our lives, Lord God, and it blows us away to think that you are the one who knows us the best, yet you're still the one who loves us the most with all our flaws and mistakes. You still love us. And we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you. It's alive, it's active, it's living. It can transform us from the inside out. It can heal us. It can save us. It can restore us. So we pray tonight, do what only you can do and change us from the inside out. In the name of Jesus. If you believe it, can you shout amen? But we live in a country where we can easily slip into comfortable Christianity. You know, really, it's funny even saying those two words because really, historically, those are two words that probably should never and had never been imagined that they would go together. Comfortable Christianity. Yet we live in a country and in a day of age where we can live out our Christianity in a comfortable way. Yet you don't have to go very far back, and yet you don't even have to go very far away before you realize that there are Christians around the world today, and there are Christians throughout history going back to the first church where following Jesus was the same as signing your own death warrant. That if you wanted to follow Jesus and you wanted to live a life for Jesus, it wasn't just, I've got a feeling and I want to show it and I'm going to throw my hands in the air and I guess I'm a Christian. No, it was a considered, it was a meditated, premeditated thought. It was something they had talked about with their families. I have been with families in the Middle East and North Africa where they would drag us in from the street and in the back room because their neighbors couldn't know that they were Christians, and they showed us the marks on their own bodies from people that had found out they were Christians. Yet we live in a day of age and we live in a country where Christianity can easily be reduced to something it was never meant to be. Comfortable. Something that we can switch on and off. Something we can choose to just add on to our lives with not much sacrifice, with not much reconsideration, with not much discussion with the family. It's like, oh, by the way, I guess I'm a Christian now. Comfortable Christianity. And you know, often we can have a picture of, hello
puberty.
Often we can have a picture of following Jesus where it's sort of like, well, we're just skipping along, just following Jesus. And when we feel like it, we're just going to go and do the old flick and pick. Who does the flick and pick? Don't put your hand up, but you know the flick and pick. I'm not talking about the pick and flick. That's completely different. I'm talking about the flick and pick. What's this? Oh, there's a card here. That's for you. It's beautiful. You know, a pick and flick, that's something else that we don't want to talk about right now. But a flick and pick is when you flick through the Bible and you pick a scripture. Some do manicorn, some do flick and pick. And, you know, it's a dangerous thing because you can go through and you go, well, Judas went and hung himself. And then, I don't like that. And you flick and pick again. And he goes, and Jesus said, go and do likewise. You don't want to do that. But we can live in this kind of life where we think that, you know what, I'm just going to skip through life and I'm just following Jesus and da-di-da, and that's all it is. But I don't know about you, my personality is very much all in or all out. I'm the kind of guy, I don't like anything half-hearted. If we're going to do it, we're going to go all the way. If we're going to go out, we're going to go out. If we're going to go and have fun, we're going to go and have fun. We're not going to do something half-hearted. When it comes to Jesus, I don't want a half experience of Jesus. I want all of him. I want everything he's got. But I realize that as I'm reading the Bible, really, most often the Bible is reading me. It's not a walk in the park. It's not something that's just comfortable. It's a wrestle. It's a fight as I'm fighting with the Bible and I'm fighting with as it's reading me and it's it's challenging me in some core issue, and it's challenging me on the flesh in my life that is still alive. And it's a wrestle between the spirit and the flesh. It's a wrestle between the truth of the Bible and the realities of life. Trying to work this out. How do I find God in the midst of all of this? How do I find God in my everyday living? You know, one of the last experiences disciples had with Jesus is kind of funny. The disciples have got together, and Jesus looks them all in the eyes and he goes, "Hey guys, I will be with you always. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you." And a few days later, the same disciples, they were gathered as Jesus was riding a cloud up into the sky. And he's like, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Poof. You know, there's one scripture where Jesus says, "Come follow me." Literally a few days later, he then says to the same guys, "Where I'm going, you cannot come." "Hey, come follow me. Hey, where I'm going, you cannot come." What? Which one is it? You know, there's so many times throughout the Bible where it's like what? Which one is it, Jesus? "Hey, follow me." "Okay." "Hey, where I'm going, you can't come." "What?" "I'll be with you always." "Oh, cool." Pew. "Come find me." "Oh, by the way, he's a hidden God." Oh, which one is it? Is he hidden or does he want to be found? Why does it have to be either or? Why can't it be both and? Maybe our God, he's not hiding to be hidden. Maybe our God is hiding to be found. You see, we serve a good, good Father. A good Father who, whenever he seems to be hidden, he's only hiding to be found. I've been talking about hide and seek for 3 weeks now, that literally all I've been doing with my youngest daughter is to play hide and seek. That's the only game that's going around in my head at the moment, is to play hide and seek. And now her hiding places are better than mine, because they're easier to get to, because all she has to do is just hide her face in her hands. She just does this, "Where's Bella? Where's Bella? We're Bella in, we're Bella in." And so I sort of had to somehow, you know, maneuver her around to look her in the eyes. Or if I'm holding her, she would just throw herself over my shoulder so she's hanging back here. And she goes, "We're fine, we're fine." And it seems so silly, because you look at that and you go, "He's right there." But I bet you the distance between us and God would be even closer than that. As we go, "God, where are you?" And God's like, I'm all around you. How are you even not seeing me? He's a good, good Father. And if ever you feel like God is missing from your life, if you ever feel like he's hidden from you, you need to realize he's only hiding so that you can find him. Or he loves seeing that look in your face as you turn around and you go, "There you are. There you are. I found you. I found you." He is to be found. You can find him. And more than that, he wants to be found. He wants to be found at your workplace. He wants to be, man, I've been loving the emails I've been getting these last few weeks from you guys, from Facebook and on email, and messages of people going, "Man, this happened in my workplace. Talk about a hide and seek. This happened. They sent us home, but because I got sent home, I met this guy at a cafe, and this was this." And it's amazing, these stories that are coming out of you guys looking and finding God in all these different places. Oh, if you will go looking, if you will seek, if you will ask, if you will knock, he is right there to be found. So we have this hidden God that wants to be found. Look with me in Exodus chapter 33. In Exodus 33, we hear an amazing story of Moses. It says in Exodus 33, verse 12, it says, "Moses said to the Lord, 'Hey, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know about whom you will send with me. You said, I know you by name and you found favor with me. And if you're pleased with me, teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your people.'" I love this conversation, by the way. Verse 14, "The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you and I will give you rest.'" Basically, I'll be with you. I'm here. I'm here to be found. "Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, don't send us. How's anyone going to know that you're pleased with me if you don't go with us? What else is going to make us separate?' The Lord said to Moses, 'I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name.'" So basically, you found me. Then Moses says, "Okay, I'm going to take it one step further. Show me your glory." basically, okay, you're here, but I want to see you. Stop hiding. Show me yourself. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. And the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in that rock, and I'll cover you with my hand until I've passed by. And then I will remove my hand, and you will see me. Moses saying, I know you're there. I know you can be found. And God's like, you're right, you can find me. And Moses said, I want to see you. And God says, all right, you can see me. How do I find you? And God says to him, there is a place. And if you will go to that place, my goodness will pass you by. That is where you find me, Moses. Go to that place on that rock, and then you will find me. I want to speak tonight on the hiding place. You see, I believe that God, He's hiding in a hiding place. And every single one of us must know this hiding place. We have to know it because we've got to be able to find Him again and again. You've got to know where to find God. Because if you don't know how to find God, what are you going to do when the difficult days come? What are you going to do when tragedy strikes? What are you going to do in the moments when all hope is lost and you're like, man, God, where are you? You're going to know where He's hiding because there is a place that He hides. But the second reason why you need to know where He hides is because we need to lead other people to Him. It's not enough for you and I to know His hiding place. We need to lead other people to this hiding place as well. In Romans chapter 10, Paul, he's talking to this church in Rome, and he's talking about in verse 8. Should we go there? Romans 10, 8, and then we'll get into it. Romans 10, 8, it says this. He says, what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It's in your heart. This is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, declare in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Basically, God is closer than you think. That if you would just desire Him, you will find Him. The moment you desire Him is the moment you find Him. If you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart, that is when He is found. And He says, and He goes on, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same is the Lord for all. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So anyone can find Him. And then Paul asks himself the question, but how are they going to call unless they've believed? How are they going to believe unless they've heard? And how can they hear unless someone preaches? And how can someone preach unless someone goes to them? You see, that's what you and I, we have a responsibility in. How are people ever going to find Jesus unless someone goes to them? Our job is not to start, to have this happy, clappy Christian club inside a church and then just tell the world to go to hell. Church is the only organization that exists for those who are yet not part of it. We exist so that others may live, so that others might find the good news that we have found ourselves. So we go with this message. What is the message? That God can be found. That God wants to be found. That is the message. That anyone can find Him if they will believe. If they will believe, then God can be found. There is a place. That's the message that we run with. Paul, he goes on in Corinthians. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, that we are Christ's ambassadors. And it's almost as if he says God is making His appeal, or His altar call, if you will. It is almost as if He's making His appeal through us. It's like He's trying to convince the world through you and me. That's why it's so important how you and I, we reflect Jesus. I wonder how we reflect Jesus. How do we reflect God on social media? Oh, sorry, that's a bit... Stop talking about social media. How do we reflect God in our conversations? Are we reflecting a judging God? Are we reflecting a harsh God? Are we reflecting an angry God? See, I believe how you see Him is how you reflect Him. If you see God as angry, you will reflect Him angry. That's why you can have some angry preachers. It's like, why are we so angry? God is not angry. He's lovingly calling His people home. How you see God will determine how you reflect Him. You see, this is why we have to remember that we understand God in the tension. We can explain Him with the extremes, but we understand Him in the tension. You see, if I was to ask this part of the room, this half of the room, to read Philippians, and then say to all of you, all right, all you're allowed to read is Philippians, and then you have to tell me who Jesus is, right? That's your job. Then this part of the room, all you have to read, the only thing you're allowed to read is Colossians. And then you got to tell me who Jesus is. Now, my question, if I came in as a stranger and I came in and said, hey guys, I've just been sent to this room to hear who Jesus is. Can you tell me who Jesus is? Well, this part of the room would go, yeah, we can tell you about Jesus. He's a servant of all. He laid down His life so others may live. He emptied Himself of all divinity so that He could become a man, so He could become a servant, even to the point of dying upon a cross. Or He became the lowest of low so that He could reach everyone. I'd be like, wow. Then I go over here and I say, hey guys, can you tell me about this Jesus you've been reading about in Colossians? Yeah. He's a cosmic, galaxy-breathing God. He spoke earth into being. When He speaks, the whole world trembles. It is by His word that the earth was made. It is by His word that everything stands. The galaxies, they are held in position by the integrity of His word. He's a cosmic God. He's above everything. Which one is He? I just want to know Jesus. Which one is He? Is He the God of Philippians, the servant? Or is He the cosmic ruler of Colossians? Well, He's both. You see, we understand Him in the tension that He is the servant of all who emptied Himself and became man and served humanity with salvation. Yet at the same time, it is by His word that the galaxies are held in position. It's not either or, it's both and. To understand Him in the tension, to understand Him in a middle ground, in the grace zone, He is both. And I mean, one of the best examples of this would be The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The Chronicles of Narnia. Has anyone ever seen the movie, read the book, bought the t-shirt? Do you remember the scene in Beaver's house? The little beaver standing there and Lucy standing there. That's Lucy, not the beaver. But Lucy's standing there and she goes, oh, I would love to meet Aslan. And Beaver's like, Aslan? And he's like, Aslan is the great lion. And Lucy's like, a lion? Ooh, I'll be quite scared of meeting a lion. I don't know why she just became Australian. Ew, I'm not quite scared of a lion. And that's my best British accent when on the spot. Sorry, I've got the giggles, so I can't do accents when I got the giggles. It's like, yeah, He is a lion. I'm going to just do it without. He is a lion. It's like, oh, but I'll be scared of meeting a lion. Is he safe? And Beaver looks at Lucy and says, safe? Who said anything about safe? He's a lion, I tell you. The great lion. He's not safe, but he's good. So which one is it? Is he safe or is he good? He's both. He's understood in the tension. Oh, He is the servant, yet He is the ruler of everything. He is God, yet He is man. We understand Him in the tension. Say, yes, Moses, I want to be found. You can find me, Moses. That's great. God, where do I find you? I can't see you. All I can hear is your voice. Where do I find you? There is a place. You need to go to the rock and stand on the rock. And that's my hiding place. You go and stand upon that rock and then you will find me. In Danish, we have a saying that says, "I kan bare have mange navne." a cute child has many names. You see, Jesus, he's described with many names and pictures throughout the Bible. He is hidden in the Old Testament's types and shadows, but fully revealed in the light of the New Testament. So we see that one of the many things that Jesus is described as is that he is the rock of our salvation. He is the rock in which we build the house of our lives, so when the storm comes, that we will not be swept away. He is the same rock that we build the church on upon today. He is the rock that the so-called smart people, they rejected and said he is useless. It cannot be used for anything. Yet that same rock became the cornerstone. So he became like what so many of us we have become, rejected by man, yet chosen and accepted by God. It is the simplicity of this message that has called Jesus to be this stumbling rock for so many people. But if you will believe in this rock called Jesus, then this rock can do to you what it did to Moses in the Old Testament as they spoke to it and water came out and gave them life from the inside out. You see, Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Jesus is the place that if we will believe and if we will stand upon him and him alone, we will find our God. We say, where do we find God? Well, you find him upon the rock. Jesus, he is the way to the Father. He is the doorway to salvation. Jesus, he is both the pathway and he is the destination. You want to find God? You've got to get to Jesus. You want to experience the Holy Spirit? You've got to get to Jesus. Jesus is the hiding place. So many people go, how do I experience the Holy Spirit? You know what? Just start talking about Jesus. It's amazing how the moment you start talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, whose job it is to lift up the name of Jesus. So you start lifting up the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is like, I want in on that. That's my job. That's what I'm here for. You start talking about Jesus, whether it's at home to yourself, whether it's at a cafe to your friends, you just start talking about Jesus. And you'll experience how the Holy Spirit just, if you start, man, Jesus, man, he's just a friend to those in need. He's a counselor. He's a prince of peace. Jesus, he's the Son of God. Jesus, he is the firstborn of many. Jesus, he's the one who broke the power of sin and death. You see, Jesus, he came with so much more. Jesus, he emptied himself and became a servant of all so that he could be risen from the dead and be given the name that's above every other name. You see, Jesus, he's the beginning and the end. Jesus, he's the first and the last. It's Jesus. The moment you talk about Jesus, it's the moment you open the door and you find God. Jesus is the hiding place. He is the hiding place. You know, what happens at a hiding place? There's two things that happen. If I get the team to come and join me. Two things happen at this hiding place called Jesus. One, you find Jesus. The second thing is, you hide with Jesus. Oh, this is the fun part. Two nights ago, I was going to my oldest daughter's bedroom and she was gone to bed and she was hiding under her blanket. Not a very good place to hide at night, but cool. I'm okay with it. And I did what any sensible adult would do, and that's I would crawl under the blanket with her. And so I'm crawling under the blanket here and we've got a little Minnie Mouse light to light up this little hiding place here. And two things were happening. As I was under this blanket with my daughter, I had found her. I had found her little hiding place. But the second thing that was happening was her and I was now hiding from the rest of the world. I'd taken part of this scheme of hiding. Two things were happening. I had found her. I found you. But hey, now that I found you, you and I are actually hiding together. You see, when you find Jesus, you find him. But more than that, you now hide from the rest of the world. Colossians 3, verse 3 says, for you died, That's what a lot of people tonight are going to represent by going into the water. They're representing a spiritual death. They're dying to themselves and they want to now live for Jesus. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. If you read Ephesians, if you read the letter of Ephesians, try and every time it says in Him, in whom, in Jesus, in God, in the Holy Spirit, in Him. You can also highlight on Him, to Him, because in Greek that word, that preposition can be translated either way. And you circle that every time it says in, on, to, in whom. Every time it will say it over 50 times. And every single one of them is what you and I, we have access to in Jesus. The moment you say yes to Jesus, you are now hiding yourself. It is like Colossians says, we have now put on Jesus. It's like you've taken the biggest Fluoddracht in history, and you're a big snuggie, and you have put Him on. It is like we all walked into church. I'm trying to throw so many pictures at you so you can get this. It is like you walked into church, but only Jesus walked out. It is like 650 people walked into Bremen, but only Jesus walked out. And sickness can wait outside, and curses can wait outside, temptation can wait outside, negativity can wait outside, the enemy of your soul can wait outside, and he can wait, and he can wait, and he can wait, because he's like, I know he went in there, but he hasn't come out yet. The only one I've seen come out is Jesus. And I'm not messing with him again. You see, if only you would realize that when you find Jesus, you have found everything there is to find in God. But more than that, you are now hidden with Him. You are now hidden with Him. Which means what used to tempt you, what used to try and call your name, it no longer has to call your name. It's like, speak to the hand. I'm hidden in Jesus. If you want to talk to me, you've got to talk to Him, because I'm hidden in Jesus. These people that keep talking about, well, curses this and curses that, you're hidden in Jesus. Oh, but this thing is coming around, and you know, I just think that you're hidden in Jesus. None of that has to go and hit you anymore. You have been hidden in Christ Jesus. How do I find God? Find Jesus. That's why every single week in our church, the only finger we're pointing is towards Jesus. If people would just, and then I'm just correcting my glasses. We find Jesus. And my glasses. If people would just remind themselves and remember, as long as I've got Jesus, I will be okay. Yeah, but this is, I'm struggling with this in my life. I'm struggling with this. What should I do with this area of my life? Just find Jesus. Just keep finding Jesus. Yeah, but when will it change on the inside? Just keep finding Jesus. Just keep looking for Him. Keep looking for Him. Keep looking for Him. He's in there somewhere. Just keep looking for Him. Sometimes it looks like He's hiding, but it's only so that you can find Him. Just keep looking. He's closer than you think. Just keep looking. He is there. He wants to be found. When we sing worship songs, when we sing these songs, it's not just so we can hype up everyone into a frenzy. No, find Jesus. Find Jesus. Tonight, a whole bunch of people are going to get baptized. Why? Because they want Jesus. Because the Bible says when you go into the water and when you come out of the water, you're going to come out into the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. So every single one of you that are getting baptized, don't just expect oxygen when you get up. No, no, when you get up to that service, you can expect Jesus to be embracing you. It's a whole new life, baby. You can look for Jesus. Look for Him. Look for Him.